guys, the very ones who weren't supposed to be in the congregation of God forever. Remember how this chapter started off? And now as we're looking at this happening, for how many of you is it coming into a sharper focus, so to speak? We like that phrase. Why God starts us off telling us, separate yourself from this person. In the beginning, the Israelites did not see this being the end of the book of Nehemiah, or of this time period. They did not see in the beginning, as they were trying to show a kindness to some, that down the road, that very kindness would be their undoing. As a matter of fact, Nehemiah in this very chapter reminds Israel, remember Solomon, the great King Solomon, the one we all look up to, back when we had a united kingdom? Remember him? Even he was brought down by not being separated. Solomon had married wives from the different countries and the different tribes around Israel. And he who was called by God to call the wisest man to ever live. At the end of all of that, he said, I have hated my life. It's been all vanity and vexation of spirit. Even Solomon, his wives, turned his heart from God. Remind you, these are the same Solomon when the temple was dedicated. That first time, where Solomon, the king, not the priest, Solomon prayed and God rained fire down from heaven. So we get these little warnings, don't do this, don't do that. We talked about the thou shalt nots in the past. We get these little keys and guides and warnings here and there, but we don't listen to it. And the result of not following those small little warnings from back in the past, when we fast forward to the present, we find that God's tithe is not being honored. God's house is not being honored. God's ministers are not being honored. God's temple is not being honored. God's name is not being honored. God is not being honored. So it starts off small and it ends up big. And by the 13th through the 14th verses, we see that Nehemiah is back. They get that guy, that Ammonite guy, out of the temple. All right, I don't care if your rent's paid up or not. You're out of here, buddy. And they couldn't just move in all the stuff that was supposed to be there. They had to clean out the temple. They had to restore the temple, the little storage room where the tithes go, where they store it. They had to clean it up. They could not even bring back the vessels of the temple that were supposed to be in that room until they first cleaned it out. Does this say anything to anybody concerning what God has to do to get us back on the right track? Sometimes we repent and we think that's it, but God isn't going to just come back into a dirty place. Just because you've changed your mind, just because you've changed your heart, do you think that's the end? What does the lesson right here tell us where that's concerned? Brother Joshua.
One of the things that you were saying drew my mind to Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in God with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. There is a way that seems right to man. And there's things that we want to do that are good. But despite what your intentions might be, the truth is if it isn't the will of God, it isn't good. There are times when we want to come together and God wants us to separate. And when things are done in the wrong place, they become the wrong thing. Even something done at the wrong time goes from being a good thing to a not good thing. There's an appropriate time for everything, and with God there is an appointed time for everything. So if those things are done out of sequence, you lose the validity or the righteousness of what you're trying to do. Keyword is trying, versus what God is calling you to do, which is not something that you try that may be good. It's good because it's the will of God. So with the people, And I don't speak to people's intentions necessarily. You know, I usually assume the intentions are good. You know, even with what, let's say their intentions were good with the Ammonite. But it's not what God said to do. You know, and I was actually talking to someone recently about this, about separation. Sometimes you want to come together with somebody that God is trying to separate you from for not only your sake, but their own. And a lot of times we'll hop over that because we're just thinking about ourselves. Not just selfishly, but we're thinking in terms of, well, I'll be okay. I'm fine. If this is the issue, God, I can overcome this. But God's like, I'm not just looking out for you. There is a reason why I don't want you there. In some cases, we can become crutches to people. Or we could just be a link between them and God, and that's not what God wants. God wants a relationship with them directly. He doesn't want a chain link relationship with his people. They are supposed to answer to him. Even at this time, people answer to God, even with that person who is the leader. So, for me, that's really what that draws me to, is you can have a way you want to do it, but it can't supersede what God is saying to do. Because then, you know, they say the way to hell is paved with good intentions. It's not. It's paved with intentions that are outside of the will of God. And every will outside of God's will leads to hell.
Okay. So, we look here, verse 15 and 16. How was the holy day of God? On verse 15 and 16, when we look there, how is the holy day, the Sabbath, not being kept? How is it not holy? If we look from the vantage point of verse 15 and 16.
It's like a market day.
Okay. All right, Brother George.
Not worshiping. They're just all selling their wares and not really worshiping in faith at all.
So they're not... Go ahead.
And it lists all the wares.
Well, let's talk about them. What's some of those wares?
The wine, grapes, and figs. It says they brought in donkeys carrying all of it. You know, fish.
Okay. Why was that a bad thing?
Vistacles?
Vittles. That's just stuff to eat. Like parts and
they were selling. Yeah. I like what you said, open, like open market almost.
Right. Remember in chapter 10, we were so happy. All of Jerusalem is happy because we're not gonna buy and sell on the Sabbath. We're gonna keep the Sabbath. We're gonna do by right by God. We're gonna have singers over here, porters over there. We're going to have folks doing poetry. We're going to have folks doing sacrifice. It's going to be wonderful. In chapter 10, we're all happy. We're joyful. We're screaming. But this is what Nehemiah found when he came back. This is what he found. He's back on his second stint as governor of this area. And this is what he found. They promised that they'd honor the Sabbath. And outside of the gates, what do we have? Folks ready to sell on the Sabbath. So what does Nehemiah do? He says, listen, guys, we're closing the gates. And when Sabbath comes, close the gates. And we're not opening until Sabbath is done. And mind you, Sabbath is like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's not like we just have come to church, worship Sunday morning. Some folks may come back Sunday night. Some folks don't. Here you got evening Friday till evening Sunday. That's the Sabbath day. Okay, so you've got some major time on your hands to do what you got to do. How else was the holiness of the Sabbath not kept? Oh, I was telling you what Nehemiah did when he came back. So he said, listen, for the Sabbath we're closing the gates. Nehemiah closed the gates of Jerusalem. When the Sabbath came, Saturday morning, the merchants come and they're ready to buy and sell. The gates don't open. Sunday comes, gates don't open until the Sabbath is over. Nehemiah sees this and he is undone. He says, listen, I closed the gates because of you guys. Now you come back during the Sabbath, and I'm going to lay hands on you. He actually said that. I'm going to lay hands on you. It says it right there in the Bible. All right, one gold star to the person who finds where it says, I'm going to lay hands on you. 21. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge thee about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. So Nehemiah wasn't playing. Nehemiah wasn't playing. And guess what? They didn't come back. Well, not during the Sabbath. They did want to buy and sell, but they just didn't do it during the Sabbath. So we see as time went on, God's people, given his commandment, knowing that it came from him, how did they treat God's commandment? With honor or with dishonor?
Dishonor.
With dishonor. And the Bible says that if you offend one part of the law, you've offended all parts of the law. You don't just break part of God's law. You break God's law. You know, when you break one part, you've broken the whole thing. That's the seriousness. That's why in the book of Philippians, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why fear and trembling? Because if you're wrong about your assessment, the consequences don't change. This is why we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved, the workman rightly dividing the word of God. This is why we need to have a church. If it's in a cathedral or in somebody's living room or dining room, we need to assemble ourselves together so that we can talk about what the Bible says, so that we can hear from the experiences of those that have come before us. And not only that, but we can hear from God himself through his word. So when Nehemiah came back and he did all that stuff on the Sabbath concerning the Sabbath, what do you think began to happen to the Sabbath day? Was it more honored or was it less honored?
More.
Don't be scared. Go ahead. Was it more or less honored? More. Wow. You guys are really vibrant today. So we go through the rest of chapter 13, verses 15. We go through. And what was some of the other stuff that was going on? We saw that there was the worship was going strange. Tithes and offerings weren't being paid. The Levites had to work again in the fields. What else did we talk about last week? Some of the things that had gone wrong. They weren't putting away their foreign wives. That kind of sparked our question concerning how do you separate yourself yet leave God an opportunity to work on the people that he separated you from, you know? When we get to verse 23, we start looking at that issue about the foreign wives being put away. And we talked about it last week. People weren't made to divorce per se. People weren't just deported per se. The big consequence came when people were not allowed to worship in the same way because of their ancestry, especially if they were of the ancestry that was said by God, they shall not enter the congregation forever. Who were those people who couldn't enter forever? Ammonites. Yeah, Ammonites. Very good, very good. And the it's in.
Is it the Eagles?
Oh, no, that's close. Moabites. Who said that? That was you?
No, he did.
Moabites. Very good. Thank you, Brother Joe. Everybody's like, come on, Joe.
I'm mounted. He said it. Give me courage.
The Esau descendants?
Hi.
Well, no.
When you aim that at the mic, it's
better. Right, because I aimed it at the speaker. The Ammonites and the Moabites, as we saw last week, were not allowed to be in the congregation of God because one group, as the Israelites were fleeing Egypt, they wouldn't let them pass. They attacked them.
Yeah, yeah.
They threw stones and they attacked the end of the carriages. They went where the old people and the kids were. And then also another of the other group of them, I believe, or both of them, hired Balaam, as in Balaam and the donkey, mm-hmm. to curse Israel instead of bless Israel. We saw that in verses 1 and 2 last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Ammonites and the Moabites. Where were we just now?
25, I think.
23. So, in those days, also I saw Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and of Moab. Uh-oh, the very people we were just talking about. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language. What do we see so far in this 1.5 verses we just read? What do we see happening so far?
There's people being born that don't speak the language of the Jews.
Right. So I, in the book of Nehemiah, I is Nehemiah. He's saying that he's finding that there are Jews here. They speak half the language of their foreign parent, but they don't even speak the language of their Jewish parent. Mm-hmm. All right? So that we're seeing an issue concerning what we're talking about, culture, politics, or religion here. Or we're talking about language. What are we talking about?
Culture.
The answer is yes. We're talking about culture, politics, and religion. Religion, yeah. All right, it affects the culture that you not speak the language that the laws are written in. If you have to have somebody translate your laws, you're beholden to that person to know what's right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And if the people or the system that interprets the law, you're beholden to your interpreter to know or to engage with that system. All right? So, and the children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor their daughters take their daughters unto your sons for yourself or for yourselves. What just happened in verses 23 to 25? What did we just see happen?
He laid hands.
Uh-oh. Well, Joshua said that he laid hands. Little premature. Sometimes you can be so in your conviction that it looks like you're laying hands when you haven't even laid hands yet. There have been no laid hands yet. However, oh, actually, no, I'm wrong. I am
even
wrong.
Even slapped some of them and jerked them by the hair.
Yeah, he smoked some. Folks got smoked, yeah. No, I was thinking you were saying something else, no.
Not
bless them.
No.
Subtly.
What has happened is...
smoked.
Nehemiah is a man of his word or not a man of his word?
Man of his word.
As children of God, you have to be men and women of your word. All right? God has bestowed upon you such confidence, such trust. All right? I've heard that phrase has been criticized, and I understand the criticism of that phrase. I was talking to someone once, and they told me, God doesn't have to trust anybody. Trust connotes a notion of uncertainty there. You trust somebody because you can't be certain if they're going to do this or if they're not going to do this. So I understand when folks have issue when I say things like, God trusts you to let you go through this. Why don't you trust him to take you through it? I understand why people have problem with that mode of speaking. However, as we see here, Nehemiah, he's talking to the people. Now, who is his audience? Nehemiah's talking to people. Who is his audience?
Children of Judah.
Who's that?
The Jews.
The Jews. Yes. He's talking to them about themselves. And he said that he contended with them. What does that mean, he contended with them? He made arguments for and against certain things in the issues. He contended with them. He cursed them. What does that mean?
He didn't bless them.
Sister Kiro says he didn't bless them. Very good,
like
Sister Kiro.
Rebuke.
Very good. And smote certain of them. What does that mean, to smite? He smote them. What does that mean?
That means kill, right?
No.
Or beat.
Hit. To strike. Hit. That's the word.
Like
to strike.
Jesus smote the rock.
Right. To strike. Hit. That's the closest. Modern English to Old English. Smote is to strike. Is struck. I plucked off their hair. What does that have? What do you think that means?
Pulled their hair out.
They pulled their hair out. Okay.
It was a black folk.
And made them, after doing all of that, he said, and, that means in addition to, and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourself. What's going on there? So after he slaps them around a little bit, pulls their hair, cusses at them, he's out there cussing, Nehemiah's cussing. He's cussing. He said he cussed him right there.
First.
And after he did all that, he made them swear not to give their sons to the daughters of the quote-unquote foreigners and not to take the daughters of the quote-unquote foreigners for their sons or for themselves. So no, he did not say, okay, fine, y'all are divorced now. You're no longer married. He did not say, you're deported. He didn't take the children of these people that were deported or not deported and put them in cages. I mean, put them outside of the country. He didn't do any of those things. He said, okay, this is the situation that we find. This is where we find ourselves. Let's find a solution moving forward. Let's put a pin in the badness that's been going on. Mm-hmm. We're going to notice that this is where we ended it, and this is how we're going to end it. In the next generation, there ain't going to be marriage from these groups. Nothing from this side is going over there. Nothing from over there is coming in here. And we're going to keep everybody on the right track from this day forward. He didn't try to undo what was done already. That would have been too much of an upheaval. And then again, it wouldn't have been fair. Now I'm talking about Nehemiah doing it. Now if God had said to do this, that's a different thing. But this is the funny thing right here. As we're looking, God didn't say do that. God didn't say cast out the foreign wives. God didn't say deport the children that are of mixed ancestry. God didn't say that the unions that had come together are now to be dissolved or that the people of the unions would have to be disenfranchised or put out of the country. Yes, the religious duties were curtailed. Okay? Yes, the religious experience, yes, that would have to change. However, culturally, politically, he didn't destroy those things that had happened. And then he gave, this is a powerful thing he says. Who can give me a summary or just give me an idea of what happened in verse 26 when Nehemiah makes a reference to Solomon? What is he saying there when he's referencing Solomon here?
He's talking about Solomon's experience with women and how even though he had the wisdom of God, he never put them away. You saw what happened. Is where this temple started, bringing them back to the genesis of the temple, and what happens when you're not listening to God the whole time, and when you're not acknowledging God the whole time.
Very good.